What's up, everyone? Ernie Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on Wednesday afternoon. And, you know, as the lead Nazi in Raiders of the Lost Ark once famously said, "Now, what shall we talk about?" Because goodness knows, there's a few headlines making their way around the old Twitter sphere, around the old blogosphere, around the old internet about the said Green Bay Packers and one Aaron Charles Rodgers and his former mentor, teammate Brett Favre, opining today on the Rich Eisen Show about how the Packers have burned bridges that will be hard to mend, and how basically Brett projected all of his feelings from 2008 onto Aaron Rodgers in this interview. And I thought it was a pretty funny exercise. But of course, predictably, as it is designed to do, it set the internet ablaze. So I thought I'd come here and say hi to you fine folks in the comments section and everyone listening later, and say, look, Brett Favre is a god on the football field, and I will love him forever, but he is 1,000,000,000% off base on this one. That's pretty simple. Hello to everybody in the comments. It's really good to see you all. McGinn's article was ... interesting. Well, I don't know what you mean by interesting, but the most interesting part to me was the paragraph where he talked about getting a sense of what Matt LaFleur is thinking. How does Bob McGinn get a sense of what anybody inside of 1265 Lombardi is thinking when he never goes in to 1265 Lombardi? I don't believe he's ever even met Matt LaFleur. How does he get a sense of what Matt's thinking? It's a mystery. Dustin, thank you for the super chat. My buddy said that Mitch Trubisky is the Jar Jar Binks of the NFL. Is that more unfair to Jar Jar or Trubisky? Probably to Jar Jar. I mean, they're both pretty terrible. I will say, at least you can run an offense with Trubisky, make the playoffs. I'm not so sure with Jar Jar. I mean, Jar Jar pretty much started the Galactic War and or move to the Sith rule and the Empire, starting with his basically calling for more power for the Chancellor there in Attack of the Clones. So, yeah, I got to give it to Trubisky. Bob McGinn sucks. Now. No need for that. Thank you. I was telling a guy at work the same thing. Well, good. Why, when Aaron seems happy in Green Bay, we have to go and piss him off? Because it ain't show friends. It's show business. Everyone's so protective of Aaron Rodgers' feelings. He's a big boy. He's a professional. As Matt and Brian both said after the draft, he's a pro. He's going to handle it just fine. Is he going to be happy about it? Of course not. But their job is not to make him happy. Their job is to look out for the long-term best interests of the franchise. And in their determination, we will find out if they're correct. Drafting Jordan Love and allowing him to sit for at least 2 years, if not three, will allow him to develop while giving Aaron a little bit of a push, a little bit more competition behind him in the room, etc. And, you know, they're going to be running probably much more play action, trying to get much more into LaFleur's playbook. This is all a good thing. And then when Jordan Love is ready and it is time to move on, they will cross that bridge. But in the meantime, I'm not going to ruin the next 2 years of my life because Packers fans are so worried about Aaron Rodgers' fragile ego. Please, give me a break. Jake, thanks so much for the super chat. Nags, I love what we did. I feel like we are headed back to the Green / Davenport days of running it down teams' throats. The best play-action QB ever. See, was that so hard? Thank you, Jake. I also love that idea. And you throw in a bunch of two tight end sets with Sternberger and the rookie whose last name I can never remember how to pronounce. They're going to be balling out. I'm all for it. Oh, boy. We got people in here talking about Vic Ketchman. I can't talk Vic Ketchman, man. I'm sorry. I'm sure Vic is writing very insightful stuff over there on Ask Vic, but I just can't do it. I'd love to see the U99 play again. Jumbo! What is this, logic and reason? Kevin, I'm sorry. I know this is the internet. There's no place for it. Sometimes I just got to bust it out. Tim, thanks so much for the super chat. When do you think we'll hear from Rodgers? That's a great question. Can we just skip ahead to whenever that is? Because you know it's going to be an appearance on Wilde and Tausch. and he'll say the right things and blah, blah, blah. And then we'll live with that news cycle for 24 or 48 hours. And then we'll all move on with our lives. So can we just, you know, simulate to that point here in the Matrix and then get on with our lives? Otis, thank you so much for the super chat. Do you think we'll get any more free agents? I feel like if we didn't have the cap, then we don't. If we didn't have the cap, then we don't now. Well, they're always, they've always been keeping, you know, a portion of that cap room open because they need to sign their rookie draft class. I think they could make one or two more bargain signings, but they're not going to do much more than bring somebody in, most likely on, if not veterans minimum, then a very minimal contract with maybe some incentives down the road. But obviously the one big signing I would still love for them to do is to sign Snacks Harrison. He's still sitting out there. I think he would help solve a lot of their run defense, the defense against the run issues that we saw continually last year. I'm not holding my breath, but it's still a possibility. Jitsu, thanks so much for the super chat. Did you see Westendorf's breakdown on Twitter about moving Jones out wide? It's amazing. It makes so much sense. We've been talking about it for months. Yes, 100 billion percent. I did read it. I thought it was wonderful. But that's exactly what we talked about all draft weekend. It's not just Jones. It's everybody. It's the putting the doubt in defensive coordinators' minds in how they respond personnel-wise. When you come in with those two tight ends and maybe two backs, and then they respond with base, and then all of a sudden you break the huddle, and you have Aaron Jones set off from the quarterback, and all of a sudden he splits out wide. Yes. Yes. 1 billion percent yes. Please. Chad, thanks so much for the super chat. When did Rodgers start playing out of rhythm on offense? Whew, that's a really good question, Chad. It's been going on for a long time. And the thing is because he was very successful doing it when he was winning an MVP, and even when he wasn't, you go back to the run the table stretch. He played off rhythm, or not off rhythm, but off schedule, off the book, so to speak, quite a bit in that run. But he hit a lot of his throws, and he made some amazing plays off schedule. But because of that, I believe, this is my, you know, personal hunch slash guesswork from watching the ensuing couple of years since then, it reinforced a lot of bad habits. And or a thought process in Rodgers' mind of, I'm going to turn that down now because I think I can make something better happen. And I thought Greg Cassell on Rich Eisen yesterday was spot on when he said, this has been going on for a long time. And you've now got a head coach in Green Bay, in Matt LaFleur, who has a very specific way that he wants to run his offense. He wants his offense to be run. And you heard it a bunch of times last year. The most prominent person I can remember who talked about it, I think Kurt Warner did mention it, but Troy Aikman literally mentions it on a broadcast where he's got a slant on the backside to Lazard that he turns down. I think it was in the Eagles game. It may have been later in the year, but there's a specific play where Troy Aikman says, I have no idea why he turned that down, but this is something he does a lot. I mean, he says it plain as day, and it is something that Aaron has done continuously throughout this second half of his career. And again, he's been very successful doing that. But Matt LaFleur, and by extension, Brian Gutekunst, have a very specific way they want to run their offense. And if, funnily enough, if you want kind of the best example of watching Aaron play within the confines of the offense really successfully, I've seen a lot of people talking today about that four-game stretch without Davante Adams. And it's true. They were very efficient. They utilized all of their personnel, and Aaron did a great job. But I think if you need an example of with Davante Adams in the lineup, and Aaron playing within the confines of the offense in rhythm, go watch, especially the first half, but go watch the Vikings game. Now, that game gets tainted in a lot of people's minds because they turned the ball over three times in the first half, including a bad interception from Aaron when he was late. He recognized something late. He made the throw, didn't see the guy. Guy undercuts it, interception. Outside of that throw and that play, that is probably the best he played as far as playing in rhythm, getting the ball out of his hands at the, you know, watching the reads, the delineation from high to low. There's a number of times where, now he comes off stuff like when Vitaly gets held. He still throws it to Vitaly off, you know, off beat, off rhythm, because he knows he got held. But for the most part, he is absolutely in sync with the offense for the first half of that game. And it's really, really interesting to watch. And I think part of that is because LaFleur hammered home to him all week, look, we're going into that environment, national game. It's going to be loud as hell. We're not going to be able to use hard count. Just get the ball out of your hands. And if you watch that game, you see play after play after play where he hits the top of his drop and he lets it rip. That's the way they want him playing all the time. You know, and look, again, I'm not going to begrudge him. I'm not going to say he doesn't know what he's doing because he's Aaron Rodgers. He's an all-time great. He's won two MVPs, Super Bowl MVP. Yeah, yes, he's a god among men. Zero question. But the Packers have to look out for the long-term benefits of the franchise. And if they can win a Super Bowl with Aaron right now and then transition out of Aaron into a quarterback who's going to set them up for a decade more of, you know, winning records and postseason berths and possible shots at a Super Bowl, hell yes, they should take it. It's a long-winded answer. Owen, thank you so much for the super chat. All right, I got a bunch of super chats to get to here. Hold on. Christopher, thank you for the super chat. Do you think part of the reason the Packers didn't go defensive heavy in this draft is because it could be Pettine's last year in Green Bay? Woo! It's a theory I hadn't heard or thought about, but I would tend to doubt it. Now, I think there is a very real possibility it could be Pettine's last year in Green Bay if they don't improve on a number of areas defensively. You know, they have gone heavy as far as fortifying the defense over the course of the last 3 years since Pettine's been in there, both draft capital and free agency-wise. But I don't think that was a concerted effort to say, okay, we're not going to give him anything else. He's got to make this work. I do think that was mostly just how the board fell. Tim, thank you so much for the super chat. Why re-sign Patrick, then draft three O-linemen? Well, that is 100% on trusting your board. And they, in their determination, felt that those were the three best players available at that spot. And look, I get being frustrated with that. I get why people, you know, this is why I always say, like, you know, everyone's all about, or smart fans, whatever, are always all about, oh, trust the board, you know, best player available until they actually pick who they think is the best player available. And hell, that's what happened in day two with the two guys they took. And everyone's like, oh my God, it's a, you know, it's a reach, or they overdrafted. Well, not in their determination, clearly. So they got a lot to work through there along the interior of the offensive line, not just with Patrick having re-signed him, but goodness knows, you got Billy Turner making a good chunk of change. You got Lane Taylor, who you got to think they're going to move on from at some point. They got these three guys that they just drafted. One of them, I can't remember which one, but it's not Runyon, but one of the other two guys, he's coming off an injury, so he's probably not going to be ready for the start of the year. So there may not be a need to make a determination there right away, but yeah, they've got a log jam there. There's no question about it. Son of Sparta, thanks so much for the super chat. I like Reggie Belton. Do you think he can be a number two? Whoa, that's a jump. Let's see him make the squad first. I mean, yes, his CFL tape is intriguing, but I think he's a big-time long shot to make the team, let alone jump up to number two. But that's not to say he can't. We've seen crazier things happen in the NFL. I mean, Cameron Wake made the jump. Why can't he? So many super chats here. What's up, guys? Okay, here we go. If you had to guess right now, do we have a season? Jake, yes. I think they will. I think it will be pushed back. I think they'll have a full season that starts in probably mid to late October. That is complete guesswork on my part. I'm not reporting anything here, but that's what I think. All right, there we go. Will, after Aaron came back against the Bears 2 years ago and torched them in the second half, I had hoped he'd start playing within the offense more. Will, couldn't agree more. That is exactly what we wanted to see, a lot more of, and just haven't. And we've seen throughout his career when injury has hampered him and limited his ability or even taken away his ability to escape the pocket, and he's been forced to play from inside the pocket. Good things tend to happen. Dylan, thanks so much for the super chat. I've seen trade rumors about Curtis Samuel. Any chance the Packers trade for him and any wide receiver? By the way, I love your Twitter feed. Hope Rodgers calls you soon. Aaron Rodgers ain't calling me, but it's fun to ask him. I would be shocked if they traded for a wide receiver. I take Gutekunst at his word. I think he really likes the guys they have. If he wanted to bolster that group, he would have done so in the draft. Real DK, thanks for the super chat. Has Rob Domofsky sold out and gone full clickbait? No. Come on. No. Rob's reporting and writing what he thinks and feels and sees. Rob's one of the good ones. You guys may not like to hear it. But if that's what, you know, if that's what he's putting out there, that's what he thinks. He's not putting out there just to be clickbaiter. Oh, and thanks to the super chat. Do you see Billy Turner retaining a starting job, or could we kick Runyon in at right guard and Wagner at right tackle? I said last night, Owen, I expect Runyon to probably win the right guard job at some point. I don't know if he does it out of camp, but I think we'll see a battle much like we saw last summer between Jenkins and Taylor. But I expect Runyon to win it. Richard, thanks for the super chat. They sign AB. Watch this Aaron story go away. They're not signing AB. Overshadow Sean, thanks for the super chat. Why is nobody excited about Funchess? Probably because they've watched him play. Hello! No, I'm kidding. Because, you know, he's been very inconsistent, and he's coming off an injury. He's a big unknown, big in both senses of a big unknown, and he's a large human. But, you know, I understand people not getting excited and or pumped up for Devin Funchess. Come on. Joshua, thanks for the super chat. During the Cheesehead TV draft party, who is Bakhtiari referring to as the person who is still in the league he has beef with? Oh, Joshua. I ain't telling tales. But thank you for the super chat. Frank, thank you for the super chat. How long is the leash for Rodgers? Favre had his worst year in 05, 29 interceptions, and kept his job in 06. Would Rodgers have that luxury if he has a bad year? Well, Frank, I mean, define bad year. For Aaron Rodgers, it'd have to be, like, shockingly bad. Because even his down years are better than most quarterbacks. So, yeah, I'd be absolutely shocked if he ever truly got pulled. I think the only thing that takes him out of the line is injury. He's too careful with the football. He's too good with it to really – that any coach that LaFleur could turn around and make a legitimate claim that, oh, starting, especially this year, a rookie at quarterback gives us a better shot to win. That's just no chance. All right, guys, I'm going to take one or two more. Not even mad about the Love pick. In fact, I'm optimistic. Holden, thank you for the super chat. Just really didn't want the end of the Rodgers era to parallel Favre's. I hear you, man. I didn't think it would. I didn't think Gutekunst would do it, but now we're here. We have to live with it. But I'm with you. I am excited about Jordan Love, and I'm just hoping that because of everything that Aaron went through back in 08, that informs how he handles all of this. That's all I can hope for. What do you think of all these talking heads using Bob McGinn's articles to push the unhappy Rodgers narrative? I think it's hysterical because neither Aaron Rodgers or Matt LaFleur would ever talk to Bob McGinn. Not to mention, it's literally one article after he based an entire article around a fake tweet. Come on. Are there any free agents left you would sign? Daniel, I talked about that at the beginning. Snacks Harrison, in a heartbeat. I would bring him in yesterday. I think he could really help with what ails them defending the run. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to jump. I'm going to be on the Doug Gottlieb show on Fox Radio in a little bit. So if you have some time, you want to tune in, I'm be doing that at 5:30 Eastern. In the meantime, please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Salud, everyone.